Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our very special guest of honor today is a friend of mine for many years and also a guy that has almost 30 years of experience in shipping, Mr. Jesper Svenstrup. Very welcome, Jesper, to this interview.
Thank you. I've been looking forward to it.
Yeah, so have I. Well, as I always do with my accused or interviewees, I always allow them a few minutes to explain a little bit about their background and career. And as I started to say, you have a long career in shipping. Tell us about your past leading up to where you are now in shipping in particular.
Yeah, sure. I think it's to me, it's of course understand you get the background, but I think it's more important is who I am, is more my ideas and my perspective, my vision. But of course, we need to start by understanding where I am and who I am. I've been doing shipping for, as you said, almost 30 years. I started as a broker in 19. Yeah, well, actually started before because I had a very short sea career when I was a deck apprentice for Lauritsen.
Oh yeah, right.
But I got really, really seasick. So instead of doing a maritime career, I quickly figured out that I'm not gonna spend the rest of my life being seasick. So
no.
I did almost 6 months as a trainee on a reefer ship in the Pacific.
Okay.
But I have there been shipping and in my blood my whole time. Both my uncles have been pilots in Denmark, and my father had a shipping company as well. So it has to do something with shipping. So instead of being actually on board a ship, I got a traineeship at a company called Lightship Chartering as a trainee broker. So I was there for a few years, enjoyed that. That was a really good experience. I got, I think when you're a trainee at a brokering company, I mean, you get exposed to a lot of things. When a broker is, I mean, of course, you add value by have a lot of knowledge, but sometimes a lot of the stuff, especially when you do operation for a broker, is just passing on messages.
Yeah.
So as long as you do that correctly, you cannot fuck it up too much.
No.
And then if you read the messages and understand what's going on, then you get a really quick understanding of what's actually the issue here, what is shipping all about. And I did that, and I enjoyed that. It was a good experience. I focused pretty early on the bit smaller ships and project cargoes, and because there was a room for that, because not many people at that company were doing that. So I managed to somehow strategize and put myself in a position where I was not competing, at least internally.
Right.
And then I started some good relationships, and some of them are still with me today, almost 30 years later.
Wow.
After that, and then I moved to Malaysia, to Kuala Lumpur, where I joined Scantrans.
Yeah,
worked there for a few years, and then also for Scantrans, I was in Beijing.
Okay.
In the very early 2000s, that was before China was a thing. I remember how we in Beijing at that time could have these beautiful winter days with minus 20 degrees and a clear blue sky.
Yeah.
I'm sure you remember those as well.
Definitely.
And I think those days are probably gone now in China, but that was a great experience.
Yeah, the right time.
Yeah. And then I worked a few years for a project cargo owner in Denmark, Clipper Elite Carriers, part of the Clipper Group.
Right.
Later merged into to Torco.
Yeah.
Then I've been doing at that time I've been doing project cargoes for more than 10 years. And I needed a new challenge. I needed get some more knowledge and challenge myself a little bit. So I moved to a bulk ship owner, bulk carriers, Norden,
DS
Norden,
yeah,
old Danish listed company.
Yeah.
From 1871.
Wow.
Very traditional, but also very forth looking in a lot of things. And that was really a big change for me. Coming from being one of the more experienced on the chartering desk with Clipper Elite to be one of and definitely one of, in terms of seniority, are probably one of the I was only one, not the only, maybe a few guys plus 30. The guy, other guys were like mid-20s, but they were super smart people, really smart people, and they knew how to do the arbitrage and trade freight and all that. That was really a big eye-opener for me. And I remember I told my wife at that time, I said, "Oh, I really have to really have to I cannot go out the day before I go into office because these guys are smart, and if I need to catch up, then I really I cannot do that with a hungover." So
No, definitely.
that was a big experience. But then you learn fast when you're among smart people, and then you grow, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, then you are one of the smart people who can the younger guys look up to, and you can teach and coach. So that was cool experience. I spent almost 16 years with Norton, including
Fantastic.
5 years in Singapore, where I was heading the whole Pacific bulk carrier business,
Wow.
Reichau. So that was a big experience, good experience.
Fantastic career you've had. I mean, I'm mightily impressed. I mean, you've seen the world, you've been outside the beltway, and yeah, no, but that's important in order to understand how the world works.
Yeah.
And then when did you then leave Norden?
That was in 2021. There was some organizational changes. So I think there was opportunity for me. I think Norton want to do something differently, and I also want to do something differently. So we agreed to part ways, and there was 16 great years where I really learned a lot. I think a few stepping stones within my time in Norton, I can really look back at. I mean, first, as I said at the beginning, when I joined, I was really have to I really have to pick up space, pick up speed to be to adapt and learn. That was super exciting, and I had my first leadership roles with Norton as well. That was also very meaningful to me, and I learned a lot from that. And I'm sure I did a lot of things wrong, but and I think a lot of people, when they try to do something new, I mean, then you make mistakes.
Of
And
course.
I surely made some mistakes, but looking back now, I learned a lot from the mistakes I made. So that was great. And then I think being there for almost 10, 11 years, then we had a new head of dry cargo coming in who did things a little bit differently, and really adding up that trading mentality in everything we did. And getting more commoditized the trading part a lot more, and that I learned a lot from that, and that was really adding this data into shipping, something that at least when I was doing project cargoes, it wasn't that much data driven. I'm not sure how it is now because I haven't really been keeping that much up to space, but there's a lot of data in bulk shipping. So getting hands on that data and be curious on that data, that's really taught me a lot.
And then now you're kind of you can say self-employed, and you have
I actually when I left Norton, I spent some time figuring out what I want to do next,
great.
because it's, for me, it's been about challenging yourself and figuring out where can I make a difference, and what do I want to do. So I joined a company called Copenhagen Merchants, and their shipping department called Navi Merchants, where my responsibility was actually to buy freight instead of sell freight. I spent my the first 20 almost 25 years of my career selling freight. So now the recent job, I was put a task of buying freight, and that was really really interesting. So at first we're just buying freight, and for coasters and MPPs, and also for bulk carriers, and that was really really interesting. And I think what I learned from that, some of the key takeaways from that would be, I mean, when things go wrong, and things do go wrong in shipping, and ship will get delayed, you change your schedule, bad weather, shit will happen in shipping because there are so many factors you can't control. It's the communication. How do you communicate it? Are you hiding stuff? Are you being upfront with it? Do you trust the people you're dealing with to tell them the truth, what's going on, and all this? And I think I learned that because I had known it most of my time, but now I learned it and saw it from the other angle, and that was really really interesting to see how different companies and different individuals deal with that.
Yeah.
And maybe that's also a learning in shipping, that we might work for a big company with a lot of chartering people, a lot of operations people, but we are still down to individuals. So the company might have a certain idea of this is how we deal with this, but it's down to the individuals, the operations manager, the chartering manager, how do they inform and how do they deal with this? So
yeah,
still after all this year and very data driven, it's shipping is still down to trust
yeah,
and
people.
communication in my mind.
Yeah, that's very
what we
correct.
also did in my recent job, which I thought was really what was interesting for me and where I think I added a bit of value to the company, was instead of just always buying freight when
Yeah.
we needed it, we're actually starting to be a little bit more operator minded and trading freight. So instead of just fixing a cargo we got to the market, then we took some handies on period, traded them around, and then we had a foot in the market, so we knew the market, what was going on. We saw the market from both angles as
Yeah.
a freight buyer, but we also freight sellers at the same time. So we've got much more information into that.
Smart.
And that was also another way of, when we're looking at risk management. I mean, the bulk market can be, you know, the last year and a half, it hasn't been very volatile, but it can be super volatile, go up and down very quickly. So if you have a big cargo portfolio to move, like the company I work for was about 4 million tons,
yeah,
any volume you need to, and you play all that on the spot market, then you are, that's pretty risky business. So you need a way of hedging that to make sure that the market doesn't run away from you. So
yeah,
there are different ways of doing that. And I explored a different way of doing that in practice. And that was really meaningful and learningful
okay.
for me.
And then with all this experience you have over the years, almost 30 years, and also I still recall when we met in Indonesia back in the day. I mean, now all this experience leads up to where you are now, and you have all of you learned. You can actually materialize this in either guiding people on leadership, how to manage people in the best way. Is that something you are looking at in a new career, or are you guiding people and companies in your specialty here?
For me, what is interesting and what has been driving me in my career, at least ever since I've been a proper adult.
Yeah.
And I think in my mind, you're becoming an adult when you get kids.
Yeah.
And that's been what I want to do, is something that it should be meaningful to me. I should make a real impact to what I'm doing and to the people around me.
Yeah.
And when I make an impact, I can shape something. Then I get my happy face on, and then I get a lot of energy and a very high drive that actually spills onto the people around me, and they
Yeah.
seem to be very happy and get a lot of energy as well, and we get a lot of things done.
You have passion, and they get infected by it.
Exactly, I think that's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I look at this business, what drives me is the learning and the passion for learning, but also the passion for people, the
Yeah.
passion for networking, the passion for connections.
Yeah.
And you and I, our connection is a good example of that.
Yeah, for sure.
I was just doing in my notes here. I mean, I think it was in 97 or 98 we met the first time.
Yeah, incredible.
And that's been a while, right? But we kept the connection, and
yeah,
there's a good understanding between. I mean, a lot of my connection, my network, go back this long. Some others are shorter. Some are
yeah,
shorter. Some are
yeah.
longer. But it's really so. Getting back to your question, I sound like a politician, and we did a lot of other talking. But I really want to do is something where I can make a difference,
Yeah.
and that could be advising people on
Yeah.
leadership or having a leadership role where I have a hands-on impact.
It could be a board membership. You guide board members to
Yeah,
how to move
I
the
have.
company forward.
I actually did. I was a board member of Norden for 3 years as an employee
Okay.
elected. So,
Yeah.
I have a bit of experience of that. But I also like the hands-on thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we should not be too high up in boardroom discussion
No,
and
no.
fancy MBA words for strategy and all that. What I like to do is actually translate strategy and leadership into
Yeah.
something very hands-on, something we
Yeah.
can understand, we
Getting
can
your hand,
relate to.
getting your hands dirty, so to speak. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing, right? I mean,
Yeah.
when I for me, leadership is about change and engaging change and embracing change. But it's very easy to say, but You have to do it
Yeah,
as a
exactly.
leader. Then you have to be the first to change your behavior.
Yes.
You cannot expect others to change their behavior if you are not
Doing it
the
yourself.
front
No.
line doing it yourself.
No. You have to lead by example. And as I said, a lot of people have very big degrees from this or that university, but still they have to start from square one, no matter how many books you've read. So
No, but that's actually true, and it and I think it's a super interesting view and an angle on it, because I think today's shipping, the people who start in shipping now are a little bit smarter than we were at that time, because now they start with a degree and then they get practical experience added onto it, but they still have the degree and they know some of the academic way of thinking and all that. When people our age, but when we started in shipping, we were all hands on, hands on, hands on. And then maybe at a certain time, then you get some more theoretical stuff added to
I think
it.
to find the balance between these two, I hear from a couple of meetings I had in Dubai recently that they have a problem to find motivated people, that people are now, many staffs are so spoiled in a way that their life has been too good. They want to start as a managing director straight away. And how many days do I get off? It's a matter of entitlement first before you have to put in the hours. So maybe the pendulum has swung too much in the wrong direction. They are overstudied, but don't know that they have to put in the hours to get there. You don't get anywhere without actually putting in the effort, right?
No, I think that's a good point. I mean, people have the skills, but they don't have the passion and they don't have the drive. I mean, in our days, we have the passion, we had the drive, and we learned the skills along the way.
And we were hungry. That's another thing.
Very
Hungry.
hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah, very hungry.
If you, I think that's the best way of putting it. Sometimes you hire a guy and then, yet they are not hungry. No, okay, you can fire me, and then it doesn't matter. I have money in the bank, or I'm on welfare or whatever. If people are not hungry, nothing will drive them. If they don't have a passion for anything and they are not hungry, that's a difficult one. How to get the right staffs? I'm sure you can be somebody that can help to find the right people for companies who need it, I would say.
Well, I have a lot of contacts, so maybe that could mean I could see that happening. I could see that happen, but I think it's also but I mean, we are going into uncharted water on these generation set people, right? We are just learning to deal with the generation X before, and now it's set, and I think my youngest is now generation Alpha, and I think it was easier when we were just dealing with the boomers. But now there's a lot more, there's much more nuance to it. And I think it's all about figuring out, finding a way where we can, people have to be motivated, but themselves, if they're not motivated, it's difficult. But we have to inspire them by something. They have to be, as you said, hungry about something. But I think today's people are, because they are so smart and are exposed to the whole world via social media, they know what's going on in the world. At least they have a chance to know what's going on in the world. So we cannot just sit them at a cubicle and say, your job is to fix some ships,
No.
or fix some cargoes. I think we need to tell the people, I mean, not just the young people, but everybody. I mean, for me personally, I like to know why we are doing this, where are we going, and then how do we get there?
Yes.
And I think that's what I like to do in my leadership role. Been trying to be very transparent about our goals. Say, this is where we want to go. And you are the subject matter expert on this business. You are the best at fixing project cargoes or wind turbines from Asia to Europe. You don't need me to tell you how to do that, because you know that much better than me, chartering manager on my desk. But we're gonna do this, because if we do this right, then we can get all these other ducks in a row. So that small cubicle adds into the big wheel.
Sure.
And I think it's very important that we make sure that everybody on board knows where we are going.
It's in a way you could contribute to a company becoming a well-oiled machine, because we're only as strong as the weakest link. I mean,
Exactly.
if you can make it into a well-oiled machine, people have purpose, they feel they're part of something bigger, then it'll move forward. But how can If any of our viewers are interested to get in touch with you and how to reach out to you, are you available for consultancy or guidance,
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
so you are a free man, so to speak?
I'm married,
Well, yeah, of course, we all have
but in
our
business terms,
prisons.
in business terms, I'm open for business.
Yeah, that's what I meant. We all have our prisons, but
Absolutely.
so that's good to know. So people, whoever our viewers would like to have a discussion with you, I think we reach about 40,000 people worldwide on a monthly basis. So there'll be quite a lot of interest probably in your services when you have all the hardware, but you need software. And sometimes getting a fresh perspective coming. Looking inside from the outside is much better than being inside looking out.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes if you're too busy with your face looking at the problem and the daily task, it's difficult to take that step out and look at the business from the outside.
That's
When you
it.
think that in order to be successful in this kind of business, we just need to be competitive.
No, that's not
But
the only
think being
thing.
competitive is your entry ticket to be at the table. But being competitive doesn't always mean being the cheapest. It just means that you need to be in the range. So price is one thing we can differentiate. It's also like the service and the product you offer, the storytelling you have behind it. I mean, okay, we're all dealing with professional people, but it is a relationship. It's a relation business, and I think that's what I like about the business. And when we talk about strategy, I think for me, strategy, going back to what we said before, it's really about where are we now? Where do we want to go? And how do we get there? What do we need to do to get there? That's strategy in a nutshell for me. It's not some fancy words that ChatGPT and an MBA will teach you. This is basically what it's all down to, and it's about hands on and put these things in perspective. And I think when we're looking at strategy, where we say we are at A and we want to go to B, and to get there we have to follow the route C. I mean, in order to figure out where is A, where do we start from, then we need to involve the people in the business, and we need to figure out, okay, this is the starting point. And then I think it's probably a little bit more philosophical, might be a hard word, but more a long-term view on where do we want to be, where do we see the company, what's our perfect position to be in. So that's going to be point B, and then point C is how do we get there. And in order to get from point A, following point C to B, then we need the people doing the business, knowing the business, to be involved in that process. And I think one of the best ways to get people involved in that process is simply to take all these fancy words out of strategy and call it what it is. Because the more fancy words you make it, the more, now use another fancy word, the more we alienate the people, but the further away we get from the business by doing all these fancy words. And then people might be a little bit concerned, oh, I don't know all these fancy words, so how can I contribute to the strategy when I don't know these fancy words? So take these words away and then just call it what it is. We are drawing a map.
I
We need to
agree.
find a road to get from A to B, and that road we call C. But it's really that simple.
It is. Keep it simple, stupid, as somebody told us
Absolutely,
once.
absolutely.
But yes, I want to. It's been very, very interesting talking to you, and I think we had at our time slot here also for our viewers to think over what you've said. If they want to approach you, you will submit. I can submit your email address and all that, so they can approach you. And you're also available on LinkedIn, I take it,
Yeah,
right?
LinkedIn is probably a good way to reach me.
LinkedIn. I will.
I'll strongly encourage that.
Yes, I think most business professionals and so on are anyway there. So it's been.
If you have time for one more
Yeah,
strong
sure.
point,
Yeah, of
Boris,
course.
is actually data.
Oh, yeah, that's of course
Data
true. Yes.
or data, as they call it in
That.
Australia.
Yeah, data.
Shipping business is traditionally old school, and I mean, when I joined, people were still doing telexes,
And
now
I
we're
recall.
looking at emails and Skype and all the other ways of communicating. But I think one of the great ways of doing Telex was that we never got a spam Telex. It was so expensive.
Yes.
But with all the other ways of communicating now, there's so much data out there. And getting that data and making that help us form smarter decision.
Yes.
And finding that right balance between very hardcore data-driven, just looking at numbers, and getting that personal business with the relationship and understanding, okay, now my data shows me that it could be smart to move my vessel from China to Europe, but you need to know, then you can figure out who has these cargoes, but who knows the people with these cargoes? How do we
Yeah,
interact with them? So
exactly.
finding that balance between the very hardcore data-driven decision-making and the hands-on old traditional chartering people, building that bridge where
Yeah.
we have a team, a diverse team with some people who are very good at connecting with people and doing the classic sales work, and some other people are very good at crunching numbers and then data, getting those people to talk together
Yeah.
and interact and building that bridge. I think that's
That's
probably what leadership is about here in 2025.
yeah, in the years to come, and I think you're certainly well positioned to guide individuals or companies towards that goal. Really, many thanks, Jesper, for this valuable input. You have the experience, you have something to, let's say, boast about, if for lack of a better word, and you've certainly been around the block. Most interesting. I want to say formally, thank you very much, Jesper.
Thank you.
And to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this has been yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Special guest of honor and a special personal friend of mine, Mr. Jesper Svenstrup, has a very long and distinguished experience in shipping and other aspects of life, and now guides and consults for leadership roles and management and how to interact shipping and whatnot in order to make a better and more profitable and healthy work balance situation. So do contact him, especially on LinkedIn, if you would like to know more about him and talk to him directly. For me and Project Cargo Weekly, thank you very much and see you next time.